Okay. I'd like to share with you a perspective on Megillat Rut. But it's much more than that. And I think that it's very, very special. And I'm going to do it very quickly so we can try it again in a lot. But that's Baruch Hashem. And as you know by now, we're obviously not going to start at the beginning. If you turn to page 2, chapter 2, Perek Bet, Pasuk Dalid, the first sentence that you have here from Perek Dalid, from Perek Bet, from chapter 2, it's Pasuk Dalid, says as follows, V'nei Boaz ba mi beit lechem, v'yomer lakotzrim Adonai imachem, v'yomru lo yivarechecha Adonai. And this is such a puzzling pasuk. A pasuk that we really need to understand. In fact, it's going to be our focus for the entire Sefer of Rut, believe it or not. And I'll explain to you why. I have a rule when I learn Tanakh. And my rule is like this, and it's never let me down over many decades of Baruch Hashem, of learning Tanakh over many, many decades, close to a half a century, actually. It's never let me down. This is the rule. If there is something which appears strange, bizarre, extraneous, unnecessary, focus on it. It's going to be of central importance. And it's never let me down. I can give you loads and loads of examples. But we're going to look at this one today. The story of Megillat Rut covers over a decade. Right? It transpires over the course of more than a decade. Okay. 4 short chapters. It doesn't take long to read Megillat Rut. Right? It's not like, you know, Kohelet or, you know, Esther even. That's a fairly long Rut is as short as it comes. It's 4 little chapters. And those 4 little chapters cover a span of, as I said, more than a decade. To devote a pasuk to Boaz saying, you know, Boaz and his workers greeting each other, it's like Keilu, we had, you know, a paragraph devoted to what he had for breakfast that morning. It's just very strange. Why are we told this? And I know the Gemara and Brachot, what we learn in terms of halacha, but it's still, it's Omer Darshan. We have to understand, why would this be in the Megillah? Why are we told that Boaz says to them, Hashem imachem, God is with you, and they answer that, they answer to Boaz, Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you. This seems like the most trivial thing in the world to devote any space to in such a short narrative, right? Okay, we have some place in Tanakh where we go into great, great detail. Okay, maybe there's another detail, but this is not one of those places. And so it really requires explanation. We will see that this is a clue to one of the, it's a clue to the core of the entire Megillah. Okay? Please suspend judgment for a little while on whether that's true or not. And you'll judge for yourself, but only after we've seen everything. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. There's a verb that is a key word in the beginning of Megillat Rut, the first chapter plus. It's a word that comes up again and again and again. And it's so omnipresent in this first opening section. Anyone tell me what that word is? What verb comes up again and again and again? Right? People are... Wow. And this is the last shiur of the day. I'm very impressive. Very impressed. Very impressed. I know. I'm kidding. I'm... Okay. Okay. If you take a look, you'll see that the verb lashuv in various forms comes up again, and it's clearly an important thread that runs through the beginning of Megillat Rut. And the reason, well, one of the reasons why it's so important is because, well, I have to give you a little bit of perspective. This does not come naturally to me because, as members of my family know well, I have absolutely no sense of direction. I'm thoroughly geographically challenged, and I really have my few places that I go to all the time, and I know how to get there, and that's it. And beyond that, I get lost. And my kids, when we go on a family trip, they don't say, are we there yet? They say, are we lost yet? And that I'm not making this up. I'm not that creative. It's true. It's true. You can ask my wife, you can ask my kids, they'll tell you this is what happens every family trip we go on. So, yeah. They have people like me in mind. But, Sometimes we have to get it straight. So I'm going to try. If you look, lashuv, to return, to go back to, is used differently depending on who the subject is. Okay, now watch carefully. If we talk, for example, about, let's say, when it's speaking to, I'll give you an example. Yes, let's talk about Arpa for a moment. Pasuk Tedvav 15. Vatzomer hine shava yivimtech el ama veloheha shuvi acharei yivimtech. Now here, hine shava yivimtech, Arpa went back. Where'd she go back to? Moab. She went back to Moab. And not just Moab, but Moab and all of the whole world, religion and everything. Okay, Moab. The direction is towards Moab. By contrast, if you look in Pasuk Zion, Vateitzei min amakom asher hayta shama ushtei kaltel ima, Vateilachna baderech lashuv el Eretz Yehuda. We're talking about Naomi, and Naomi is going back to Eretz Yisrael. She's going back to Israel. Now, that was Zion, Pasuk Zion, 7. Okay? Now, we go a step further. What about Naomi? I'm sorry, what about Rut? So Rut is trickier. And I want to show you an interesting transition that takes place. Now we know that Chazal say that the conversion of Rut, the Gerut of Rut, takes place in Perek Aleph, right, the first chapter, in Psukim, Ted Zion and Yud Zion, thereabouts. That's the process of conversion. We're not going to go into the details, that's not our topic, but that's where it takes place according to Chazal. Now, there are other opinions Mefarshim discuss, exactly at what point, where did they become Jewish, but let's focus on Chazal for a moment. Now, watch what happens. In Pasuk Tetvav, K15, Vatomer Hine Shava Yivimtech Ama Veloheha, Shuvi Achare Yivimtech. Right? Naomi tells Rut, follow Orpah back where? To Moab. Now we go down a little bit. Okay? Pasuk Chaf Bet, the very end of this chunk over here on the first page. Vatashav Naomi Verut HaMoavia Kalataima Hashava Miste Moav. Okay. Now, if that's not clear enough, turn the page for a second and look at another example, which is even clearer. When Boaz asks, who is this young woman, meaning Rut, in Pasuk Vav, okay, 6, in chapter 2, it says the following, Vayan hanar hanitzav al kotrim, Vayomer, in identifying Rut, he says, Na'ara Moaviyahi, Hashava im Naomi, Miste Moav. Okay, she is a Moabit, right? She is from her by in terms of her genealogy, she's Rut HaMoaviyah, and yet she is returning from Moab to where? To Eretz Yisrael. Interesting change that takes place. And the Megillah is telling us, if we follow, and I give you just a couple of examples, you have to follow every single case, which you will see, if you follow them, you'll see a very interesting point. And that is, and many in Chazal, and many Mefarshim, and amongst them especially, I would highlight the Malbim at great, great length, talk about the idea that one of the main points in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, one of the main points is the accusation against Naomi and her husband and her children, etc., for having left Eretz Yisrael in the time of the famine, and that they were punished for that, and that's why everything goes wrong for them. And the Malbim, again, it's based on Chazal, but the Malbim goes on and on and on about this. And what we see here that the Malbim, as far as I know, doesn't talk about, but what I want to point out is that if you look at the word Lashuv, which is clearly a key word here, for Rut, Lashuv, when she was, before she became Jewish, it was to go back to Moab, right? But once she becomes Jewish, even though she is not, in terms of her history, she wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael, she didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, she's clearly coming from Moab, we see that before. Her family is from Moab, and yet, once she's Jewish, right, So to return is to return to Eretz Yisrael. And that's her natural place. That's her home. Even though she's coming there for the first time, but nonetheless, she's returning to Eretz Yisrael, Lashuv, right? El Eretz Yehuda. And that's very clear in terms of you just follow the simple Pshat and the Pesukim. That's a major focus of this first segment of the Megillah. Okay, so that's issue number one, is the whole story of how they leave. And again, we could spend a long time on this. I don't want to. I just want to put it back. It's not that I don't want to. I don't want to because we have so much else to do. But let's put that on the back burner and let's move forward. Okay. So that's point number one. Point number two. Point number two is that we're now on page two. Okay, page two, and we're in chapter two. If you follow, we saw in Pasuk Dalid, number four, in chapter two, that the Kotsrim, the people who are harvesting, say to Boaz, Yivarechecha Hashem. We continue, and this idea of his being blessed by Hashem is repeated again and again. For example, in Pasuk Yud Tet 19, Vatomer Lachamota. Where did you gather today? Asked Naomi of Rut. Yehi makireich baruch. Okay, the person who took note of you this way should be blessed, and so on. And we're told at the end of the pasuk, Vatomer. The answer of Rut is Shem ha'ish asher asiti imo hayom Boaz. The ish for whom by whom I under whose auspices I collected today. His name is Boaz. The same two ideas of his being blessed by Hashem and being the Ish, the man, is repeated in Pasuk Chaf. The next Pasuk, Batomer Na'ami L'chalota. Baruch Hu L'Adonai, Asher Lo Azav Chasto Atachim V'Temeitim, Batomer La Na'ami, Karov Lanu Ha'ish, Migo'aleinu Hu. Okay? Now, he's called Ha'ish again. You look on the bottom of the page, the last sentence, Tet Zayin, Batavol Chamotah, Batomer Mi'at Biti, Batagla Kol Asher Asah, Asher Asah La Ha'ish, referring to Boaz once again. And this is something that we find a number of times in the Megillah. Okay. Let's now just take note very quickly. It's a very fascinating story, the whole idea of how Boaz and Rut, right, the marriage between Boaz and Rut, and everything leads up to it. That takes up really most of chapter 2, 3, and 4. We read about the chesed that Rut has done, and the way that it's reciprocated is on the bottom of the page, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer brucha at la'donai biti heitav chasdeich ha'acharom min ha'rishon levulti lechad acharei ha'bracharim imdal v'mashir. We're told about how in Perek Bet, above Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, Vatipol, Paneva, Tztachu, Arza, Vatomer, Elav, Madua, Matzati, Chemenecha, Lakirein, Vanin, Menochi, Nachriya, talks about her bowing down. Okay, all interesting things to keep in the back of our minds as we turn to page 3. Okay, and we're going to switch to a different story, temporarily. Okay. We have this huge chapter in Bereishit, Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. Okay, we're on page three, towards the top. Bereishit Perek Chaf Dalet, I only have a little piece here, but it's a huge chapter, right? It's the longest chapter in Bereishit, I believe, if I remember correctly. And I don't think it's really competition. It's a very long chapter. And chapter 24 talks about, okay, the main character in terms of space devoted to one person, the main character in that chapter is obviously, okay, so the person who appears most, certainly is referred to most, is Eliezer. Okay? The only thing is that, of course, if we actually look in Bereishit Chaf Dalet, strangely enough, right, Eliezer does not appear even once. The name, right, so we will get to what he is called in just a second, but before we do, he's called Eliezer, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is how I, read out the mistakes, but I believe that he's called Eliezer in Torah. This is one of those things that, we come out of whatever first, second grade, and with you know, one picture of what it says in the Chumash, and at some point later on, we go back and we learn it inside, and we're shocked to find out what is in there and what isn't there. We find out all kinds of stories that we never knew were. They didn't teach us this in second grade, and then there are all kinds of things that, wait, where is it? You know, one of them is Eliezer appears once in Perek Tevav, right, where Avram complains of a Meshek Beiti who domestic Eliezer, but other than that. No Eliezer. Eliezer, we Chazal tell us, and the Farshim tell us, we assume that this same, the Eved, this prime, this, you know, this special Eved who we have in Perek Haftal is the same one from Perek Tedvav. But it doesn't say, it doesn't mention his name once. And Rabbeinu Bechaya, right, Rabbeinu Bechaya, very important Mefarshim Chumash from the school of Ramban, talks about the two roles, the two ways that he's described. He's described as either the Eved, or Eved Avram, which is essentially the same thing, either as the Eved, or as the Ish, right? As you said, the Ish. Those are the two descriptions. And the Rabbi Bechaya has his approach to why exactly. I'd like to suggest something a little bit different. But I need to preface it with the following idea. I happen to be a very big fan. I really think extremely highly. I think he's really one of the very outstanding people in the period of the Achronim. Very big fan of Rav Hirsch. I enjoy his stuff very much. But even the greatest people, there are things that, you know, you have to learn. Part of learning is, you know, picking and choosing what, you know, what is right and what isn't, and sorting through and reading critically, learning critically. That's part of the process of learning. And I think there are really so many gems in Rav Hirsch's Perush. There's one thing that he says that is very famous. It's very often quoted. I have to say, I think it's just not what, it's not pshat in the psukim at all. He claims, and I'm saying this not for Plumquist, I'm saying this because, again, as I said, I preface by saying, I'm not trying to bash Rav Hirsch, I happen to love Rav Hirsch, but this particular point, I think it's critical to know why it's wrong, in my humble opinion, because it's key for understanding Perek Haftal. Without it, you can't understand Perek Haftal. I'm going to explain what I mean. He claims, and you probably heard this at some point or other, that the way that a wife is chosen for Yitzchak, namely that it's not done by Yitzchak himself, it's done by Eliezer, and so on and so forth, that that is meant to be a paradigm. That's presenting an ideal. Okay, that's what Rav Hirsch says. I'm paraphrasing. He says that that's meant to be a model, an ideal. Okay, now whether that's true or not true is not my issue right at the moment. We're discussing Tanakh, but in terms of the Pshat and the Psukim, it's very difficult. Let me explain why. First of all, every single thing that he points out about this narrative in Perek Chavdalid, about the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, we find the opposite, point by point by point, with Yaakov and Rachel. Okay, that's number one. So why particularly this is the ideal and not that, that's one question. But that's not so important. What's really important is, if you look at this particular parak, and the Torah makes a point of saying this, the Torah tells us there's a very good reason why it couldn't have been any other way. This was the only option. Why? Because Yitzchak, we're told, not elsewhere, in this parak, the parak begins with two points. Number one, Yitzchak is not to leave Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak, in fact, never leaves Eretz Yisrael. We know he's the Olah Tamima, he never leaves Eretz Yisrael. And he's not to marry any of the natives of Canaan. Now that's a tremendous logistic problem, right? If you think about it, this does not offer tremendous opportunities for dating. I mean, if he cannot leave Eretz Yisrael, and he can't marry anyone from Eretz Yisrael, so how is that supposed to work? Hence, you have to import someone. And if you have to import someone, and Yitzchak can't go out and choose who it's going to be, can't put an ad in the paper. Anyone who thinks they might want to marry Yitzchak, come to, you know. Obviously, the opportunity and the offer has to be presented to a specific person to say, are you willing to leave your home and come to Eretz Yisrael and marry Yitzchak? So, of course, you need an intermediary. That's a Davar Pashut. And therefore, to take this as a model is very strange. Okay. The reason I make a point of that is because it's really key to understanding what happens in this parak. I'd like to show you. It's really very beautiful once you see it. I can't take you through the whole thing because it's such a long parak, but I want to give you the key that unlocks it, give you a few ramifications, and then, when you have time, look over Perek Chavdal and see if it works. Whenever I'm going to give you my theory, and I'll give you an example or two, and all the examples you have to look yourself. Whenever it's talking about the person who is taking care of the pragmatics, who is taking care of the practical matters, transporting Rivka, representing Avram and his family, taking care of the Gemalim, you know, whatever it may be, that's the Eved of Avram. Then he's called the Eved. If you look closely where he's called the Ish, where is he called the Ish? So we have to ask ourselves, first of all, what does Ish mean? What does Ish mean in this parak? So who can translate Ish for me?
Man.
Man, what else? That's the Gemara in Brach. That's already dropped. I'm saying, but what does the word Ish mean? Translate. So one,
personality.
Hey, so we said personality, man. Who can give me a better translation?
Important.
Who can give me even a better translation for this parak? Everything that you said is true in general, but in this parak, what does the Ish mean?
Designated.
Who can give me a better translation than man or person or personality or what? Someone may have said it, but I haven't heard. Who is really the Ish in the parak? It tells us at the end of the story. We take a look. Take a look at Pasuk.
Two people refer to as Ish.
That's correct. So let's look at, for a moment, at a Pasuk which asks specifically this question. Pasuk Samach Hei, 65. Vatomer El Ha'eved. Okay? Rivka asked the Eved, Mi Ha'ish, which is the question which I'm asking you. Who is the man? I'm translating, I'm using your definition for the moment. Mi ha'ish halazeh alech basadeh lekratenu v'yomer eved hu adoni, meaning it's Yitzchak, batikach atzaif batikas. Okay? So who is, so what I'm asking is, let's talk about Yitzchak for a moment. Why is Yitzchak the Ish? What does Ish mean? What? Okay, excellent. Ish means husband. And if you look, who is the Isha in the story? Again and again, Rivka. Ulkachtem Isha, right? Means to take a wife. The point is that, and it's very interesting because notice Rivka is referred to in the same narrative as both the Na'ara and the Isha. Okay, and how is Na'ara spelled throughout the entire narrative? Nun Ayin Resh, right? Like Na'ar, which is what Yitzchak is called, right? And there's a parallel between the Ish and the Isha, the Na'ar and the Na'ara. The point is that this is the story about the marriage or the finding of a spouse for Yitzchak and Rivka. Therefore, Ish and Isha, above and beyond meaning a man and woman, I'm not saying it doesn't mean that, but it means something more specific here. It means a husband and a wife. The Ish is the husband of the story, and that's Yitzchak, as it says in Pasuk Samach Hei. Why is Eliezer called the Ish? And when is Eliezer called the Ish? The answer is, Eliezer is the Ish, what? When he is
representing,
when he's the shaliach, right? Shlucho sham kamoto. That a shaliach is an extension of the person. And this is why, again, as I said, I wasn't trying to bash Rav Hirsch, but I think it's critical to understand the Pshat and the Psukim, that the point is, who is really supposed to be deciding? And by the way, it's not just me, I'm saying that Meshach Chachma says that specifically that was Yitzchak's decision based on the Ma'ariya quote by the Ramah. Anyhow, the point is, the person who's supposed to choose the wife, the person supposed to be deciding who he should be marrying is Yitzchak, but that's not physically possible. So Yitzchak has to have an extension. Right? He needs to be able to project himself into the place where he's going to be able, someone who's going to be his ears and eyes and be able to choose who that woman was going to be offered this deal. So therefore, if you follow the Pesukim carefully, and I'm going to give you one or two beautiful examples and then you can look to see the rest, I would argue that whenever it talks about the Ish, it's where he is not working for Avraham, but where he's replacing Yitzchak, and where he is deciding who should be that woman. And therefore, the person, he's taking the place of Yitzchak. Bear with me for 2-3 minutes and you'll see what I'm talking about. If you look, for example, at Pasuk Samach Aleph, very interesting. Vatakam Rivka v'narotea v'tirkavna al gmalim v'telachna acharei ha'ish. She is following the Ish. Right? Why is she going? She's going not because she's following Eliezer. She's really following, she's really heading to, the real telos is Yitzchak. V'telachna acharei ha'ish, but, the Pasuk continues, Vayikach ha'eved et Rivka v'elach. The one who transports her is the eved. Right? Eliezer wears two hats. But I want to show you something even more fascinating. And this is really, I think, where you see this so clearly. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the first pasuk we have here in Perakov Dalet on this page. Okay, the top of this this big box. Vayomer bo baruch Adonai. Lama tamod bachutz. Vanochi paniti abayit makom lag malim. Laban says to Eliezer, bo beruch Hashem. Come the blessed of Hashem. There's only one person. One person, all of Chumash. Only one person in the Torah is called Baruch Hashem. That's very striking. Moshe is not called that, and Avram is not called that, and Yaakov is not called that, and Yosef is not called that. One person is called that. Only Yitzchak. Yitzchak is called Baruch Hashem. And only Yitzchak. And the reason that Eliezer is called Baruch Hashem here is clear, because he is the Shaliach, the projection of Yitzchak. So if Yitzchak is the Baruch Hashem, then Eliezer is the Baruch Hashem. Okay, it's Davka in a section where Eliezer is referred to as the Ish. Okay, Davka where he's called the Ish. Now, I wanted to show you, and I was blown away when I saw this, because I got this from the Pesukim. But after, I don't know how much after, but it's a long time ago, I saw a Zohar, and I'm not a Kabbalist at all. And we're going to see it's not at all. No one has to run for the doors. Nothing esoteric. I want to show you a Zohar that says this pshat, okay? But I don't think we would understand the Zohar without first seeing it in the Pesukim, and which is happens with Midrashei Chazal all the time. And again, I'm not saying that the Zohar is a Midrash Chazal. I'm saying it's like that in this sense. Let's look at this one line of Zohar. It's incredible when you see what it says. Tachazi. Okay, Tachazi is like the Zohar's equivalent of the Gemara's Tashma, right? Except for it's come and see instead of come and hear. Tachazi, come and see. Eliezer Eved Avraham Mibnei Knan Havei. Eliezer was, after all, from Knan. Knan Kiv Ale Arur Knan Eved Radim Yielachav. Knan is cursed by Noach. Uvigin dahave shlicha mehemna, because he was a faithful shaliach, therefore maktiv bei bo baruch Hashem. Continues the Zohar, baruch Hashem mamash, literally baruch Hashem, meaning who's the baruch Hashem? That's Yitzchak. Since he is a proper shaliach, and what's a proper shaliach? It means that you are an extension of that person. You're fulfilling, you're doing what that person would do if he were here. Since he's a proper shaliach, and therefore he's really like the mishaleach, therefore he's called Baruch Hashem. Literally Baruch Hashem. He's like, he's Yitzchak. Right? In this context, he's Yitzchak. And that, I think, is the pshat why in certain places Eliezer is called the Ish, in certain places called the Eved. Okay? With me so far? Okay? Good. Let's turn the page. Let's take a look. Where else do we have this phrase, Baruch Hashem? So as we said, we find it by Yitzchak. Bereishit Perek Chafav, top of page 4. Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishon asher ha'ya b'imei Avraham. Vayilch Yitzchak el v'melch melch plishtim gerara. There's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And there's the issue of what Yitzchak is going to do. After all, there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And so he goes to land of the plishtim. Vayirai lav Adonai vayomer, al tered Mitzrayim ha'shchon ba'aretz asher amar elecha. And Hashem appears to him and says, don't do what Avram did. Don't go down to Mitzrayim. You stay in Eretz Yisrael. Gur ba'aretz hazot ve'yemcha b'avarchecha. Stay here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to bless you. Ki lechal zarcha ten kol aretzot ha'el. I'm going to give to your zera, to your descendants, this land. Va'kimoti et ha'shvua shenishbatu l'Avraham avicha. V'beiti et zarcha kukvei ha'shamayim. V'natatu zarcha et kol aretzot ha'el. V'barchu v'zarcha kol goyei ha'aretz. He goes, indeed, he stays in the land of the Plishtim, and he has these dealings with them. End of the Perek, Pasuk Chavchet, Vayomru the Plishtim say to Yitzchak, Ra'o ra'inu ki haya Adonaimach. We see that Hashem has been with you. But Amar Tehina Allah benotenu benenu benecha. Menichutav ritimach. Hey, we see that Hashem is with you, and therefore we want to have a brit with you. Im taseh imanu ra'a kasher lo niga'anucha v'chasher asinu imcha rak tov v'neshalech lecha b'shalom ata beruch Adonai. This is the only other place we have beruch Hashem in the Torah. Yitzchak is the beruch Hashem. Once he's described that way directly, that's Perek Chafav, and once indirectly through Eliezer, that's Perek Chaf Dalet. So,
he didn't leave in the time of
family. Did not leave in the time of
family. And Boaz didn't leave in the time of
family. Absolutely correct. We have two times where it talks about Baruch Hashem here in Torah. The first one is Perek Chavdal, and the second one is Chavav. Although conceptually, Chavdal is really an extension of Chavav, right? Because Chavdal is where we're talking about Eliezer, right, through the Shaliach, and here we're talking about directly Yitzhak, which is Perek Chavav. So I'm going to go in that order, which I think is more correct conceptually, even though it's not the order in the Torah. I mean to say, in other words, for our understanding of it, but in any case, it's not really important. The point is that we have the story of the Ra'av and the issue of not leaving Eretz Yisrael, right? And thereby the whole issue of that, you know, that Hashem says he's therefore going to give him a bracha and the whole thing about his Sarah and so on and so forth. But this is the basic point. And the second, or the first, depending on your perspective, Chaf Dalet, which talks about the whole process which leads up to the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, right? And that's the other occasion, okay? Now, what's fascinating about this is that if you look at these two pieces, this is a fairly good summary of Megillat Rut, right? Megillat Rut, we find that the first part of Megillat Rut is about the issue of the Ra'av and leaving or not leaving Eretz Yisrael because of the famine, right? That's the first part of Megillat Rut. And what does it continue with? It continues with the issue of how Boaz and Rut, right, come together and end up married and so on, the process from Perek Bet to Perek Gimel to Perek Dalet. You look at the details, and there are so many examples. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just want to give you one example which is critical. And that is, what is the attribute that is highlighted about Rut? What is that Boaz points out about, specifically about Rut, that's what's so great about Rut, in a word? Exactly. Which is, of course, exactly the criteria for Eliezer choosing Rivka, right? It's the essence of the story of the match between Yitzchak and Rivka on the one hand, Rut and Boaz on the other hand. Okay, there are many other parallels as well, but you can see it as you go through Megillat Rut. I'm not going to, you know, do prate pratim, but the point is that I think we see the basic idea. If you go to Perek Chavav, I see something very interesting. What does it say if you take a look at Perek Chavav, that's the top of this fourth page, right? The last two psukim in Perek Chavav that we have here, Chavchet and Chavtet. So I want to highlight just two phrases, which are right, okay. And if we now go back to what we started with on the top of page 2, right? We start with on page two. Take a look at the discussion between Boaz and the Kotzrim. V'nei Boaz ba mi beit lechem v'yomer la Kotzrim Adonai imachem. Everyone see where that comes from? Okay, see where that comes from? Top of page 2. Okay, the first pasuk on the top of page 2. First pasuk in Hebrew or in chapter 2, 4, whichever you'd like to look at, right? V'nei Boaz ba, it's Perek Bet, pasuk Dalet, 2, 4, right? V'nei Boaz ba mi beit lechem v'yomer la kotzrim Adonai imachem, right? Vayomru lo yivarechacha Adonai. Right? So this is Breshit. If we look in Rut, we have Hashem imachem followed by the response of yivarechacha Hashem. How is Boaz referred to again and again? He's referred to as the Baruch Hashem. I don't mean that exact phrase, but that sums it up. He's, you know, Baruch Hu Hashem, again and again, this idea, alongside in the same psukim often, with his being called Ha'ish. Right? Ha'ish, exactly what Eliezer / Yitzchak is called in Breishit. Okay? And I think when you look at the whole picture, I don't think this is a coincidence. Right, you can judge for yourself, but I don't think this is a coincidence. I think Megillat Rut is very much built on these two. Now, I'm going to explain why in just a moment, but before we explain why, what needs to be explained is why, of all of the heroes of Chumash, all the giants of Chumash, all the Avot, and then Yosef Atzak, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and we go through the whole list, why Davka Yitzchak? And the answer is very, very simple. We need to turn to the last page again. The answer is very simple, but it's also very important. And I think that there is a tremendous lesson to be learned here. But in any case, there's a very fundamental point. And that is, we have to know that bracha in the Torah is always associated with two things. There are two things that are the core. There are many other things, peripheral. The two essential items that are associated with bracha are, number one, Eretz Yisrael, and number two, the idea of Zerah. Those are the two things, right? The idea of the offspring, descendants, the lineage, that's one thing, and the other is Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The Perakav Dalit is about the idea of Zerah. Perakav Vav is about the idea of Eretz Yisrael. And those are the two things. You go through, just look through Sefer Breishit, and you'll see it again and again and again. Various bracha to Avram and to the other Avod, one after another. It always focuses on those two items. And so we ask ourselves, who is the icon that represents these two ideas? Who is the crystallization of these two brachot? Who embodies these two brachot? So of all the people in Chumash, right, there's one person who lives his entire life, Bidavka, right? And Bidavka lives his entire life in Eretz Yisrael, and that's, of course, Yitzhak Avinu, right? And who represents the idea of Zerah, of lineage, of offspring? So who's the first of the offspring of the Avot and Imahot? And the first link is Yitzhak. Says explicitly, what does Hashem say to Avram? Ki be Yitzchak, Yikari lechazara. Right? Yitzchak is the expression of this idea. And therefore, if you look on the bottom of the page, you'll see something fascinating, I think. Rashi quotes a chazal. Here we know from Rashi, Breishit, Perek Chaptal, the beginning of the Perek we've been discussing so much, where it says that Hashem blessed Avraham bakol, right? So we know the famous Rashi, Bakol, the gematria of Bakol is Ben, right? Who is the Ben? Who is the son that we're referring to here? Yes. This is Yitzchak, right? And if Chazal are saying that the bracha, which is represented the Bakol, the bracha that Hashem gives to Avram, a Bakol, that bracha equals Ben, means that Yitzchak is the bracha, right? No wonder that Yitzchak is the Baruch Hashem, right, in all of Chumash. And the extension of that is what we have in Megillat Rut. Why? So if you look in Yirmiyahu, this is the very end, the last box here, Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Gimel, there's a whole section, it's a little bit complex and tricky, and not going to, you know, per se learn it now, but I just want to show you one thing. If you glance at it, you'll see that it talks about two parallel lines, two parallel lineages. One is that of Am Yisrael, and the other is that of Malchut Beit David. Right? And it concludes by saying, Pasuk Chavav, Gam Zera Yaakov, V'David Avdi Emas Mikacha Mizaro Moshlim El Zera Avraham Yisach Yaakov Ki Ashivet Shvutam V'Richamtim, where Hashem swears that He'll never reject, He'll never despise and reject the lineage of Bnei Yisrael, nor the lineage of Malchut Beit David. Okay, that's the conclusion of this Nevuah in Yirmiyahu. It talks about how it's immutable, just like the laws of nature, right? And so on as a briti, koamar donayim in teferet briti hayom ve briti haylaila vulti hayot yomam velaila bitam gam briti teferet David avdi, and so on and so forth. And the point is that we have the description of the emergence of the lineage of Am Yisrael, that's Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, that's what's happening here in Breishit, right? Perchavdal T'chavav, that's what's happening here, that the emergence of the offspring of Avram and Sarah, this is what's happening over here, when as you go to the next generation, the second generation, it's called First Link, in terms of Yitzchak and Rivka, that's what's emerging here in these prakim. And what we have in Megillat Rut, and that's the conclusion of Megillat Rut, is the emergence of the lineage of Malchut Beit David, right? It's not surprising in light of what it says in Yirmiyahu, in the parallelism between these two lineages, if there's such a word. It's not surprising that we should see this tremendous parallelism between this section of Breishit and Megillat Rut, right? It's a natural parallel in terms of the idea of the emergence of these lineages, the Zera, and the concept of bracha. They said the bracha that centers in Torah around these two issues, number one of the continuity of the lineage of the offspring on the one hand, and of Eretz Yisrael on the other hand. Those are the two elements of bracha that are at the center of bracha in terms of the Torah. Not to say that there aren't many other bracha or many other aspects of bracha, but that's the core. That's the focal point. I think that's something worth taking note of. Okay.